Easter season is always exciting around Freedom Church as we anticipate our Easter play season. We kick off that theme celebrating this morning the living hope that we have through Jesus Christ.
Well, I love Easter, especially at Freedom Church. It gets me excited to hear the music and hear the songs that, you know, we're going to be doing and a story that's going to be this year. You know, I began praying and thinking about it around September. I call Chrissy, and she writes it every year, and I say, well, it's interesting. At the end of last year, we had already kind of determined in our hearts and minds what the next year was going to be. She was thinking on the same lines that I was thinking on, and we know that the Holy Spirit was leading us in that. But it's a time that I see many of you really come alive. You really do come alive. Knowing God is going to use you in a special way, I believe it does something to you. I've always said, when God uses you, it is something else. I mean, the feeling that you get, you know, we talk about there's the feeling in, you know, in religion, and sometimes there's not, but when God uses you, boy, it sure does feel good, doesn't it? It sure does feel good because God is using you. I just sit back in awe and see the passion of followers of Jesus Christ. I see a country of boys that's what they call themselves, rise to occasions to come out of the country boy mentality a little bit, and it's so funny to watch, you know, and they begin to speak and to talk like John or talk like Peter, and then after it's over, here comes the country boy again. That's okay, isn't it? It's amazing to me what God begins to do in our lives and how it changes us when we begin to tell a story. I wonder, you know, I remember all the many stories from years past. And when I always share with you, there was a lady that couldn't hear that sat right over here when my dad was here many years ago. And she said at the end of the play, she walked up to him and somehow told him, says, I didn't hear anything, but I heard everything. Didn't hear anything, but she heard everything. She heard the story and she understood, and a precious time, and a good friend of mine and others at the Genie, she brought some children from the children's home over in Macon. They didn't have mom and dads, and they lived there, and they sat about halfway back in the middle. At the end of it, when the person playing Jesus, they kept pulling on her shirt, saying, "I've got to go give Jesus something." And so one by one, they begin to run up here and hug him. What a story. That I hope that gets something in their heart and their mind. And I've wondered this year, what the stories will be written of this year in this Easter play. I wonder. Well, let's talk about Mary, the mother of Jesus. You might be looking at your watch a little bit. We're running a little behind, but will you hang with me?
Amen.
Amen. I hope you do. Let's turn to Luke 1, 26 through 38. Luke 1. I want you to stand with me this morning, if you will. Luke 1, 26 through 38. It says here, in the sixth of the month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God into a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you. But she was much perplexed by the words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I'm a virgin? The angel said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. Listen. For nothing will be impossible with God. Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. That's a good scripture, isn't it? Amen. You be seated. Let's talk about Mary a little bit. At the first look, this is a really big deal, as you can see. You know, you have a Gabriel with a name. You have an angel named Gabriel. This is really a big deal here. You know, you don't see this very often in God's Word. He shows up with a message to a 12-year-old girl, a 12 to 14-year-old girl. I imagine that because my little girl, Jana Ray, she's 14, right? She's somewhere in there. And I just imagine, and you know, she out somewhere, and this, and a Gabriel, you know, comes to her. She would have run to daddy, I'm sure. She better anyway. But here's this young girl, and she's minding her own business, probably just living life. She's been engaged to Joseph or being thrown to him. They have not lived together, which means that they were basically married. But both from the lineage of King David, living in a little village in Nazareth. Now that would like saying that comparing Millersville to like Dallas, Texas, you know, like in a Galilee, living in something kind of small, of no significance, of very much of all in this world. Well, it says you are a favorite. He says, he comes and says, "Hey there." I'll put it in some our language. "Hey there. Hello there. You are favored. You are favored. Hello, you are favored. The Lord is with you." And Mary was troubled in her spirit. Literally here, the word is saying in her whole body. You have to think for a moment. 12, 13, 14, well, a 14-year-old was not be the same back then as it is now, but you still, she was still a young a girl and favored by God. She was greatly troubled within her spirit, and I'm sure that questions began to flow in her heart and her mind. That question after question began to flow in her mind, and a fear began to rise up in her. Greatly troubled. Lost my place. Greatly troubled. But immediately, the angel says these words: "Do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God. Do not be afraid." You will find out through the ministry of Jesus, how many times did he speak, "Do not be afraid"? How many times? In a midst, it seemed like the world was a crumbling around people. One of the first things that he would often say would be, "Do not be afraid." And this angel here is looking at this young little lady and saying to her, "Do not be afraid." This is overwhelming. Just give it thought for a minute. How overwhelming that this could be. Here's this angel. I'm minding my own business, living life. And this angel shows up, and probably without wings. I just want to throw that in. "Do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. Because Mary, you have found favor with God." And we often say, "Wow, found favor with God." You know, we think for a moment, "Wow, I want to have favor with God." And I hear a lot of my prosperity preacher friends say that you must have favor with God. Well, maybe we need to rethink sometimes what the favor of God is. Is that it might cost us dearly having the favor of God. It could just cost us dearly. But with Mary here, her fears seem to be calmed down. Said, "Okay, you will have a son." And she's probably thinking to herself, "Wow, that's wonderful to hear. I'm going to have a son." She's probably about, "Wow, that is good news to my heart now. I'm going to have a son. But you will call him the Jesus. He will be great. He'll be the Son of the God of the Most High. And I'm going to give him the throne of King David. And in those moments, possibly she's going, hold on, stop. Woo! My goodness. What are you saying? Because I'm sure she's been probably taught the Old Testament of the Scriptures here. What Jesus means is the one who saves. And so what are you saying here? Are you talking about the Messiah? And in the midst of all this, and this angel is being a voice from the God and speaking this truth into her. But it begins, once again, she begins to think to herself, how can this be? I'm a virgin. How can this be? I've never been with a man. And so this question is, and it's wonderful. Let me tell you something today. It's okay when you have questions in your life to ask God. It's okay. It really is okay to ask. And Mary here is saying, hold on, God, I'm a virgin. I don't understand this. I know you're this big angel and stuff, you know, and all this stuff, like, woo! But this seems, you know, like, I'm a virgin, you know, how is this going to happen? And so she begins to question him. I'm a virgin. An angel says, you know what? It's wonderful scripture. Wonderful. You have found favor with God. You know? It says the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. You know what that's used again? On the Mount of Transfiguration when Peter, James, and John went up with Jesus. And the presence of God overshadowed them. Mary was named after Miriam, the sister of Moses. And when they crossed the Red Sea, what did Miriam do? She danced and sang of the mighty acts that God had done. And so in this right here, she's thinking to herself, how is this all going to happen? And the angel assures her again that the Spirit of God will overshadow you. And that a son will be, like I say, God's presence will carry you through. God's presence will carry you through. He will take care of everything. She may thought, I'm favored. Listen, she probably thought, I'm favored. She says, I know what this means. I'm going to be an outcast. Nobody's going to want to be with me. I'm going to be deemed unclean. I'm going to be deemed a torturer. I'm going to be deemed by society that nobody's going to have anything to do with me. Yeah, I can hear it now. Somebody get on the phone. I got a prayer request for you. You need to pray for Mary. She's praying. What? I hear it now. Well, let me call somebody. We got another prayer request. Praise God. You hear about Mary? She's pregnant, and she and Joseph have not been together yet. Can you hear it? And you can sense in her saying, you know, talking to her, says that Joseph, he's going to divorce me. Wait a minute, I'm highly favored to God. I'm going to be an outcast. My husband might divorce me. People are going to talk about me. People are going to maybe spit upon me. Yeah. I could be stoned, as the law requires. And so, but I'm favored by God. I'm favored by Him. You know, we often think favored means social standing, wealth, and good health. That's what we often think. Listen to this. Acceptability, prosperity, and comfort have never been the essence of God's blessing. Ever. The essence of God's blessing, and you heard me say it before, is His presence. Is His presence. When you're walking through hell on earth, will you have $3 million in the bank or God's presence? God's presence. Thank you, Brother Billy. Brother Billy is listening this morning. When you're walking through hell on earth again, in whatever situation you find, you got friends in high places. Which one do you want? Them, or you want God's presence? I'm going to be highly favored. I want God's presence. And in the midst of all this, you see this young girl hearing these things and knowing these things and say, "Ooh, this is what it means to be favored by God." Yeah. God's presence. God's presence. Listen to me. God's presence is with me. My circumstances might be this. Understand? And you might begin to, certain circumstances on this earth might be whatever they want to be. But praise God, God's presence is with me. And I'm called blessed. I'm called blessed. We as Americanized Christianity, thanks God's blessing once again is I have it comfortable. I'm all right. Things are good. Things are okay. Things are well. Listen again. Acceptability. Being accepted by others. Prosperity and comfort have never been the essence of God's blessing. But His presence has always been a sign of His blessing. You may think to yourself, what does this mean for me? What if an angel appeared to you today? You know, we often, once again, want big things from God. You know, we often want to hear about big things. You know, would you say amen to that? Kind of? I know. We often do. We want to hear big things from God. You know what I've always said about big things for God? What we think is great is very seldom great in God's eyes. But what God thinks is great is very seldom what we think is great. You would think He would have chosen a woman of high standard in Dallas, Texas. He would have chosen her. But He chose someone that I believe begin to understand who, what's going on here. You know, God wants to use us. But we can question, and as she did, but God really wants to use us. You may say, you know, we say, God, use me. Use me at work. Use me in my home. And all those things are great and wonderful, and I preach it all the time. Let God use me. But maybe it's time that we take this attitude of Mary here. She was doing, taking care of her home, doing the things that she needed to do, and this angel shows up, and really, comfort ceased at that moment for her. Probably looking over her shoulder now the whole time. Just maybe, God is calling us as a church and calling you, calling me to do something great. Not in the eyes of people around here, but in God's eyes. We're opening up our building tonight because it's going to be cold. And we've come to you and say, hey, we need some people to volunteer. We need some men that will take a rotation. You know, take a rotation. And I'm going to challenge you a little bit. I wonder how many of us just thought, well, you know, I got to work more. What was the first thought in our mind? Well, I have to work tomorrow. I have to go do this tomorrow. I have to do this tomorrow. So I need my rest. I don't want to look bad, you know. But how many of us really said, wow, really? You're opening the building up for people that are homeless? That you open up the building and say, wow. It's almost like God is speaking. And said, yeah, I take care of my family. I witness at work. I pay my tithes and I do this and this and this. And in this moment says, whoo, this here. I got to stay up all night. And maybe one or two or three or five or six of you step up as a passionate follower of Jesus Christ and say, hey, sign me up. When I go out there to the ministry center, I'm going to sign my name. There might not be a list out there yet, but there will be. Say, Sister Ann will be at the ministry center. And you can talk to Sister Ann. and say, you know, I want to do this tonight. You tell me what time to be here, and I'll be here. I'll be here. And so sometimes we think having favor of God is that we get a new car or we get something beautiful. Like, God has richly favored me. And I'm not making a lot of that all. I understand what people say, and I say it too, that God's favor will show upon you. I know God's word is different other circumstances of it. But we come to the place that we use God's favor like we're. And a Christian down the road don't have what you have. That homeless person that walks downstairs tonight, listen to me, is just as safe as much as you are. But we've come so far in God's word that if they were saved, then they wouldn't be on the street. You go back to South Africa where they're starving and say that to them. You've heard me say it before. If God calls us, we make comments like this. If I could just win a bunch of money, boy, I would send it to here and yonder and send it here and yonder. I would do this. I would give it to the church. You ever said that? If you play a lottery, I don't play a lottery, but have you ever said that before? You ever thought that? Say amen. I know you have. We all thought about it. If I win a bunch of money, I'm gonna send it here, send it yonder, send it there. But we have plenty. We're millionaires in food and never give it to anyone. Do you think you'll give that money away? I doubt it. So if God's going to use us and move us, we've got to respond to what He's calling us to. And in the midst of all this, the angel says, "Your Elizabeth, how about that? She's kin. Can't say the other word. She's with child also." And Mary's probably saying, "Wait a minute, she's old. She's with child also." And Mary's probably just, "My goodness, what is going on? What's happening? This is unreal. I'm going to have a baby without having sex. I know a lady that's had sex and she's old and she's going to have a baby. What's going on with this?" She's probably thinking to herself, "My goodness, all this seems impossible." You ever been there? This just seems impossible. Have you ever been to your end that says, "This just seems impossible? It's just impossible." Angel says something beautiful. "For nothing will be impossible with God." Amen. Nothing will be impossible with God. You might be dealing with issues. They seem impossible to you. You might even say, "How, Lord? I'm dealing with some impossible things. Can I speak some truth in us today from God's word? Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. With God, nothing." I look back on my life and I think those moments, "My goodness, Lord, I was done. I'm going to be highly favored." Which means to me, your presence. It's your presence. You might think your marriage is over. Nothing's impossible with God. You might think, "I've lost my child," or "I've lost this," or "lost that." Listen to me today. Listen to me. Nothing is impossible to God. Nothing. You've heard me say it before. When the Lord had called me to preach, I was stutter like everything at times. You know, I feel sorry for folks in the audience sometimes. Because I could tell they would get all nervous and stuff for me, you know. I'm thinking back in my head, I'm not really nervous at all. I just can't talk. You heard me say it before, I would go home and pour my heart out to the Lord. And I said, Lord, are you sure? He said, what did I tell you? I said, all right, I just want to make sure. Just want to make sure about it. Listen to this. How Mary responds to this. Here am I. I'm a slave of the Lord. Let it be according to your word. What's the key words there? According to your word. Let it be. Let it be according to your word. I'm a servant or I'm a slave of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. According to your word. Listen to me. Not the word of politicians. Not the word of my wife. Not the word of my husband. My best friend. Dr. Phil. CNN. Fox News. God's word. Listen to me today. Based upon His word, we're often so much running to others saying, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? And you know me. I believe in counseling. That's what I do. I do a lot of it. I believe in reading other books, like I said last week. But a lot of times we run to other things and we don't run to His word and what He's told us. He has made it clear to us that we can live with victory. Yes, even in the midst of the oppression in our lives. I talk to a lot of people that are dealing with that. They say, I don't feel like I'm saved. I feel like I'm lost. I feel like I'm undone. If I go to the doctor and have to be on medication, I sense that I'm less than a Christian. I look at him, I'm going to start looking at him and say, you're highly favored in God. Let His presence just do a work in your life. He says, I sense God's presence, but I'm still depressed. I say, you just keep on keeping on, because there's no other alternative except to say, God, fill me. Fill me with your presence. Mary was a disciple before she was the mother of Jesus. She had to believe that she could have to carry the Messiah. And we have to believe today that God's presence can reign in us. Can reign in us. We have to believe. We have to believe. Listen to me today. Hope is born in the world by the obedient 13-year-old. She heard God's word. She even questioned it, but in the midst of it all, she says, Lord, I hear you. I hear you. We as the evangelicals, we very seldom talk about Mary. The Catholics, they really beat us in this area. We can learn something from a 14-year-old today. Who are we going to listen to? Are we going to listen to all the voices? Man, you're going to be an outcast. Joseph might just get rid of you. Mary, you could be stoned. You're going to be called unclean when you walk through a town. Someone might sign that says, unclean's coming through, unclean. An adulteress is coming through. A fornicator is coming through. She shut all that out. Why? Because the Holy Spirit overshadowed her. And she allowed the Lord to do a work. I believe that today. I believe it. After the angel departed, she goes to see Elizabeth. And John the Baptist, she's carrying John the Baptist, and he leaps within her. That he senses that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Messiah, is living within her. Later on, she sings a song, and Mary does. Maybe just like Miriam did 1,000 years earlier. me tell you something. A joy does come in the morning. You might be struggling. You might feel hopeless. You might look at it and say, this is an impossible situation. But listen to God's word today. You're highly favored. You're highly favored. The Holy Spirit's going to overshadow you. Something beautiful. He's going to make something beautiful out of you. He's going to make something gorgeous out of you. He is. I want you to understand that today. And Mary carried Jesus, and through it all, we see her at the last moments, that's in Scripture, pretty much praying and seeking with the disciples in Acts. She understood and she believed. I don't know how much she knew, but in the midst of all, she was there. And she never forgot. Listen to me today. She never forgot what the angel spoke to her. Mary, don't fear. I'm with you. If I call you, I'm with you. I won't forsake you. I won't leave you. I will be with you in the midst of it all. She had to see her son die on a cross. Life is hard, isn't it? Life is difficult at times, isn't it? But praise God, I'm highly favored. I'm highly favored. I'm highly favored. And I'm going to proclaim that today. I want you to stand with me. This Easter season, He's our living hope. We're going to proclaim it. We're going to preach it. We're going to act it out. We're going to sing about it. And I want you to be a part of it. If you're lost here today, I want you to come and kneel down before. If you're struggling today, I want you to come and kneel down before the Lord today. And as we sing this song together, allow the Lord to show Himself to you today. That special way that only He can. I want us to sing together. This altar is open. I want you to come and pray.